All right, listen, we got a thing we do once in a while where I look around the region, look around the backyard, look around what's happening in our state legislatures. Look at what's happening right here in and among us, because sometimes, y'all, what happens locally and what happens in your state can impact your life even more than what happens in D.C. or at the U.N. or wherever else. So that when I do that, I gather up a few things you might want to know about in your backyard, and I call it a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah, just cooking them up, cooking them. All right, here's one for you. Nothing like watching the Biden administration throw money out the window, right? Apparently, just under the wire, in January, just before Trump took office, right here in Alabama, 1819 News reports today, the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB, received a large federal grant to study, wait for it, what could it be, JP? What do you think it is? What are we studying? Just guess.
Probably something ridiculous and wasteful.
Okay, that's fair. Structural racism in childhood cancer care. Because, yes, there are people who say, I won't treat them because of their skin color. And it happens every day.
I didn't know to go with climate or LGBTQ or what, but that right there crossed difference.
Racism would have been on the list, though. Mm-hmm. But structural racism in childhood cancer care, I'm not sure you would have patterned that one. No. Because you have to really dig for that kind of thing.
Yeah. You got to really reach for that.
You do. The Department of Health and Human Services awarded UAB a $661,845 grant in January of this year for, quote, unpacking structural racism in the quality of end-of-life care for children with cancer. That's about as niche as you can get. It's also ridiculous. Explaining the observed racial and ethnic disparities in quality of end-of-life care among children with cancer is what the grant will do, if the study does not even end, get this, until 2029. So here's what I want to know. Since Trump has now implemented his anti-DEI policies, but the grant has already gone out, do they still get to do the DEI-type studies through 2029, or do they have to stop it now and send back the money? What do you think?
I would hope they would stop it now, but...
And send back the money?
Not going to happen, probably.
Probably not. Probably not. Your tax dollars at work. Here's one from Yellowhammer. You know, not to ever let a near crisis, or for that matter, a falsehood, go to waste. Democrats got all up in arms this weekend. This past weekend was the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. This was the gathering at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, the landmark moment in time when the civil rights movement basically splashed its way even greater onto the world stage, right here in Alabama. Well, there's a Freedom Rider Museum, and you may know the Freedom Riders. The Freedom Riders were you know, folks who rode in on buses oftentimes to join in the protests here in the South. And the Freedom Riders Museum, which is in the historic Montgomery bus station, was apparently on a to-be-closed list by DOGE. Now, listen, DOGE is a broad brush. DOGE gives you all the things it sees without going into the intimate details. And then it's up to the government to go, well, okay, not this one, but yes, that one. But there was what's called a non-core list of federal properties that the General Services Administration maintains that do cost us money. And the Freedom Riders Museum and the Montgomery Bus Station, which are, you know, civil rights monuments in Montgomery, Alabama, were due to be potentially closed because they were no longer on the core list. Well, Hakeem Jeffries, House Minority Leader of New York, he just like went totally partisan on it. All kinds of misinformation and demonization of the issue. And Yellowhammer News here reports that Senator Katie Britt got immediately involved, good for her, called the administration and said, y'all got to fix this. And she said, I've been in communication with the administration. This has been resolved. It has been taken off of the non-core list. We're not losing those museum sites. Good for her. Listen, you know what? She fixed it over the weekend. You notice that? An issue came up. Hakeem Jeffries tried to make political hay out of it and just abuse the ability to have a microphone. And Katie Britt just picked up the phone and fixed it. Yeah. Good for her.
And it's like Elon's even said it. We're going to make mistakes. But at least he goes back and fixes them instead of, you know, left doubling down on their mistakes.
He's the sledgehammer, not the scalpel.
Yeah.
He's the one who's in there, you know, cracking things open. And then the administration gets to look at it and go, well, yeah, like I said, like, yes, this, but not that. It also points out this is an example of what we might call malicious compliance.
Yeah.
Malicious compliance, that thing where like, well, oh, you say that. Well, you watch me now. I'm going to do something and make you feel bad for having made me do this. And you may remember that it was actually Katie Britt again, who worked with Secretary of Defense Hegseth about making sure Tuskegee Airmen's history was taught at the Air Force Academy because someone had maliciously complied. And like, no one ever said, take that. We want the Montgomery bus station. We want the Tuskegee Airmen to be taught. I mean, that's just history. That's also honorable history. And it's our history. Democrats are out of their minds, man. They're out of their ever-loving minds. They have nothing else to scream at except racism.
And I'd rather Elon go in like a bull in a china shop and then go back and make the fixes instead of not doing anything because he's too careful. And he's actually fixing the mistakes, may I add. Like, he's not just saying, oh, we'll go. Like, he's actually going back and fixing the stuff.
In fact, it's not in my stack here right now. But in that vein, USAID, you know, was shut down. And most of it, I believe, was folded up under the State Department. Secretary of Defense or State Rubio said either last night or this morning that they have gone through and looked at it. 85% of what was found is being left in a turned off position, but 15% of those expenses will go to programs they believe they still have to continue, and they'll rekindle those. That's what they're doing. They're doing a case by case review. Why would we not want government to do that? That's just called stewardship. I'm getting fired up. Let's look north for a minute. Nashville, Tennessee. Well, up yonder in the Volunteer State, they got ahead of us. Dadgummit. Tennessee Senate passed a bill last Thursday, according to WBIR out of Nashville. Tennessee State Senate passed a bill last Thursday requiring schools across the state to create policies that prohibit students from having their phones and other wireless communication devices during educational time. In other words, don't be bringing your smartphone to class. Subject to seizure. And paddling? No, probably not.
Probably not.
Did they do paddling at your school when you were growing up?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Your generation. I don't understand.
No, there was no physical discipline from teachers growing up for me.
Have mercy. It was always the coaches. It was always the coaches. They just send you to see coach. Not me. Never happened to me. I never got paddled.
I'm sure.
There may have been other disciplines, but I never suffered that one. Coaches used to take some kind of strange pleasure. Just like they'd have the special paddles with like a name on it, like the Terminator, and it would have holes drilled in it so they could swing it faster. It's like, good Lord.
I'm sure they'd be thrown in jail for life if they did that now.
Probably. Have some mom down there threatening with her phone out. anyway, speaking of phones, this bill, it's a Senate bill, or excuse me, House Bill 0932, Representative Rebecca Alexander, who's a Republican out of Jonesboro, she introduced the bill in the House. It generally prohibits, according to the article here from WBIR, any wireless communication devices. It also requires schools to include language that says that they can use them with special permissions from teachers. I don't know how they're going to do this. Kids leave them in their cars. Kids have a special, like a locker, like, you know, when I was in the Pentagon, everybody had a little locked cubby where you put your phones before you went into the office, the SCIF where I worked. I don't know what they'll do. But one of the representatives said he supported the bill and believed it would help with better mental health outcomes for students. All said and done, I think this is great. I think it's good. And I say more of it. How much time have I got here? I tell you what, let's take a break right now. Take a break right now, JP. And we'll come right back and cook up some more home fries. And don't forget, coming top of the hour, State Rep Ernie Yarbrough. He's got some good stuff on tap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I'm saying, making common sense like a superpower. And I'm going to go to the phones in just a minute, but I got to tell you another thing that's happening right now in the Alabama legislature. They're in session. They're actually on a break this week, taking a cycle break, but they'll be back in session next week. But they've been working on some anti-illegal immigration bills. Several of which have already passed the House. So just let you know, I love the idea that we're addressing this because I was a part of an effort myself when I was in the state Senate to pass anti-illegal immigration. Much of that bill is still in place that we passed back in 2011 or 12. But they got some new stuff going on that I think is really good. House Bill 302, would regulate labor brokers, recruiting foreign workers. In other words, these people who were sending busloads of people to work in Sylacauga or wherever else we found them showing up in parking lots, that would be regulated and should be. House Bill 304 by State Rep. Jamie Keel would allow the impoundment of vehicles that are being operated by people illegally without valid driver's licenses. And it does not mean that if you forget your license, you're going to have your vehicle impounded. We're talking about illegals. State Rep. Tim Wadsworth opposed that bill, though, but he's the only Republican to vote against it. It passed overwhelmingly otherwise. We got House Bill 3 by State Rep. Chip Brown. It mandates enhanced sentencing for illegal aliens convicted of felonies against minors. In other words, it would upgrade. If you did something to a minor that would have been a Class C felony, it would move it to a B or an A because you're an illegal alien, because you already have a strike against you, in his words. Love that. And then we got those three bills are moving to the Senate. We got a couple more that are still coming. One of which I think is really, really important, and this is House Bill 297 by State Rep. Fidler. Her bill would impose a 4% wire transfer fee on money transfers from Alabama. In other words, all those remittances that illegal aliens come here and work and send money back to their home countries, like the $63 billion a year that goes back to Mexico, those would be taxed at 4%. And that, my friends, is how you fix stuff. Anyway, that's all going on right now on the Home Fries section. Let me go to the phones real quick. Wolverine Dan's on the line. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well. I think we all need to understand that we're going to have some downtimes as far as the economy, because and also investments and retirement. It's affecting our portfolios. But the bigger picture is this. I believe that our president's doing the correct thing. Everything has to be addressed. USAID, obviously there's some fraud in there, wasteful spending. You served us well in Washington, D.C., and you know as well as I do, if this stuff doesn't get addressed, Phil, it's going to come to a head at one time, and we're not going to be able to do anything. We're going to be stuck. And it'll be terrible for our grandchildren. So I'm willing to lose some money right now or whatever I have to do to make it right, because we're on the other side of the mountain. Or at least I know I am, and I want my grandkids to do well and be well. And if we don't catch this and stop this now, Phil, we're doomed.
Well, I would agree. And so you're referring back to the Doge stuff I talked about a little while ago. Yeah. The reality is, if we don't get a grip on it, then not only are we wrong for future generations, but we're also not good stewards of what we have while we have it. And that's absolutely antithetical to common sense. So I agree. Got to get a grip on it now.
That's biblical, Phil.
Absolutely.
Good stewards of our not only ourselves, but for others and this country, yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. Take care.
See you.
A couple more minutes, and don't forget, by the way, coming up here top of the hour, we'll bring in State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, talk about some Second Amendment bills he's got going on right now down yonder in Montgomery. This is out of Tennessee. And by the way, talk about some clickbait titling. So Local 13 News wants you to know that there's a Tennessee bill that could allow healthcare providers to deny treatment. Okay, what are we talking about? No, we're not. It's a Medical Ethics Defense Act. Pray tell, what would that mean? It would mean that if you are a medical practitioner and someone asks you to, A, perform an abortion, or B, administer gender transition therapies or surgeries for that matter, and these go against your faith, you don't have to do it. You can't work for a hospital and have the big hospital association mandate you do it. Your corporate medical providers cannot mandate their physicians in Tennessee would have to do it. Well, this headline is, it would prohibit healthcare providers from being required to participate. How about this? It would allow healthcare providers to participate, not to have to participate in or pay. It's really how you want to word this, right? But Tennessee is on the money with this. It did pass the Senate. It now goes to the House. Doctors are like everybody else. Medical practitioners, like everybody else, they should not be required to go against their religious beliefs just because they work for a big corporation that could care less about kids or abortion or whatever else. All right, coming up next, Yep, State Rep Ernie Yarbrough coming on in. Talk about some Second Amendment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Meatloaf Monday. Everybody's hungry now. But hey, listen, we're going to keep going here. I'm cooking up a batch of what we like to call home fries. Oh yeah, cook them up. Sizzling in the pan. So we're cooking up home fries, which means things that are happening around about where we are, right here in the region, our listening areas. And listen, there's somebody who's been on the show multiple times. In fact, he's even guest hosted the show for me on several occasions. Ernie Yarbrough is a state representative representing District 7 right here in the Alabama House of Representatives. He's a solid constitutionalist. He's a well-known conservative, hails out of the Lawrence County region. And listen, I'm going to bring him on right now because he's got some good stuff going on in the Alabama legislature. State Rep Ernie Yarbrough, how are you doing?
Brother, I am doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day. Got the windows open in my new house we just moved into up in my office. The blue sky, the birds are singing, and the legislature is out this week, so Alabama is a little bit safer.
I feel like we ought to be singing Zippity-Doo-Dah after that introduction. That's pretty good.
All I need is a bluebird on my shoulder.
Hey, man, listen, y'all are on a cycle break this week. I agree. The state is always safer when the legislature's not in session, and I can say that because I've seen it firsthand. But you've got some good bills, and listen, there are some good things come out of Montgomery, and some of the stuff you've been carrying really is. And I want to dig into a few of these. People might want to know about having a Second Amendment holiday. So what is HB 277, House Bill 277 you've got?
Yes, sir. So what led to me filing, I'll just back up for a second, three pro-gun bills is that, you know, when you get like 13 pieces of gun legislation and it's all like, you know, concern, not good, double not good, concern. It's like, wait a minute, what's in Alabama? We need gun legislation that isn't bad or borderline. Like, we need gun legislation that's like, hoorah, you know, let's go, this is Alabama, right? And so that was kind of the context of, so the first thing, the first bill we got that you mentioned, 2A holiday, I actually saw that Governor DeSantis had tied that into his, either a bill or a budget line item request, something of that nature. And so the concept there is called 2A holiday. So the name came to mind. I didn't want to copy Governor DeSantis' name, and so I Doc Holliday Tombstone kind of came to mind. So, and so I'm your holiday or whatever. So no, 2A holiday. The concept there is that from Memorial Day to July 4th, we would have a state sales tax holiday on guns, ammo, and hunting supplies.
Wow.
And so that's the concept behind it. That's obviously, hey, this is part of who we are. It's a big part of who we are. You know, not just for hunting, as great as hunting is, but it helps keep us free. So we wanted to put that out there to be like, hey, we're going to celebrate, we're going to reward, drive, incentivize this kind of behavior for our generation and obviously to pass it down to our kids.
That's huge, man. And you know, it's such a contrast to places, more liberal policies like in, I think it's Seattle, where a few years ago they instituted a local tax on bullets, trying to basically tax people out of their Second Amendment rights. It's 5 cents per bullet. It's just nuts. So you're proposing then that people could buy guns, ammo, and even accessories maybe for a sales tax holiday.
The whole list of hunting supplies. Yeah, and it'd be a state sales tax holiday, Memorial Day to July 4th, and then local, they can opt in if they want to. They don't have to. You know, once you get into some of the local taxes, obviously that can be a little bit more finicky with, you know, with what all the local needs are and how they depend on some of that stuff. But at least the state sales tax. I mean, our budgets have doubled in the last, what, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it is. So the bigger we ought to be able to make some room for incentivizing some freedom loving Alabamians to go get some guns, ammo, hunt supplies, and carry on the love of hunting and self defense.
Yeah, I'm digging that. I mean, like let's say for instance you buy a $700 shotgun, and which, you know, it's a good shotgun. But if you buy a $700 shotgun, you're looking at like $35 off that shotgun if you buy it during a sales tax holiday, just on the sales tax for the state alone.
Right. That's... Yeah. And so, you know, if you're going to go ahead and buy something for Christmas, you know, then why not go ahead and get a load up on it now? And as you can imagine, when I reached out to,
did you say load up on it? Was that a pun?
It was. those ears are working great. Go ahead and put it in your mag shopping cart. No, and so, you know, I obviously ran this by several, you know, local small business, you know, gun dealerships. Yeah, you know, and as you know, shocker, they loved it. So and not just because obviously they want to sell more and make more money, but also because a lot of these people that do this, and you know, a lot of times it's tied into, you know, athletic gear. They sell stuff at local high schools. You know, they believe in that freedom and want to promote it.
All right, I'm digging it. Where is it right now? Is it still in committee?
Yes, it's still in committee. I think they're waiting to see. You know, there's all this discussion about various tax bills that are going to drop and what to do with the state overtime tax and other tax considerations for investment and business property and different things. And so I think we're kind of waiting to see where, in terms of getting an overall fiscal idea of the you know, the ramifications of it, and looking at surrounding states to see how what the budget numbers were when they did something similar to this. We're kind of waiting to see where we're waiting on. I think this month we'll get a clear picture. But I think this month it's perceived that this month all of the tax cut legislation will land.
Yeah.
And then they'll figure out from there what path they want to go forward and try to rope in hopefully as many pieces as we can.
All right. Well, let me dig into, before we run out of time, let me get a couple more, because you got at least three bills right now that deal with the Second Amendment. One of them is HB 408. That's the burden of proof bill. So how does this one work for you? Me being a lawyer, I immediately key in on the legal aspect of burden of proof. What do you got there?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm calling the HB 408 the Stand Your Ground Innocence Act. Very simply, the concept here is kind of prevents a Kyle Rittenhouse type of situation. So if you exercise the lawful authority and lethal force to defend yourself, your family, you know, whatever the scenario is, then what HB 408 does is it shifts the burden of proof away from you to the state. So you really are presumed innocent. And so the concept here is that what 408 does is it sets up like a pre-trial showing or hearing, and there has to be a clear and convincing evidence that the defendant's use was unreasonable for it to even go forward. And if it's not clear and convincing, the judge dismisses it, and it never even goes to trial. Wow. So that way, the idea there is that what happens here is that you're not able, people can't use trumped-up charges as a way to financially destroy somebody.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and we're going to get into that moment with red flags, but I assume this bill 408 about shifting the burden of proof is in House Judiciary. Is that where it is?
That's correct. 408 and 409 are both in House Judiciary. And so, which we have another bill, the Lake and Riley Act, which we filed actually that bill before even Senator Britt had that last year. I think we had that, we saw a bill in Georgia, and that one's passed out of Homeland Security and is in Judy now. But yes, 408 and 409 will also be in Judy, and we'll see if we can get some traction this month on those.
Well, listen, man, you're coming in from all angles on the Second Amendment here, and I love this, but I think one of the most important ones you've got is, and to me, one of the sneakiest ways that liberals can try to get at your Second Amendment rights is your House Bill 409 on red flag laws. I've spoken about those multiple times. Red flag laws give me red flags in themselves. What's your bill do?
Yeah, so what it basically does in a nutshell is it gives it bans red flag laws. So for those that don't know, red flag laws, you know, if something's a red flag, like, whoa, wait a minute, what's that? You know, something's concerning there, right? Well, basically what a red flag law is they're also known as extreme risk protection orders. So they're gun laws that give judges the authority to command the temporary seizure of somebody's arms, right, if they're deemed a threat to themselves or others. Problem is that we already have laws. Banning red flag laws has already been passed by multiple states, the most recent of which I believe is Wyoming, because the problem is that we already have a process whereby someone, you know, if they're declared unfit, mentally, whatever, they go before a judge. You know, there's well understood and defined processes for that. And part of the issue is that, obviously, and rightly so, people don't trust government. And so, you know, we these kinds of laws come up where they create extra ways to, you know, and ideas to seize people's guns, which obviously can be a very dangerous path to go down, I would argue in large part because we don't follow what the Bible says as we should. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 says that that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Hmm. So if we're, you know, the best prevention against gun violence and evilness and crimes is to bring swift and severe punishment. You know, and when we don't do that, are we seeing the news where so-and-so gets executed after 35 years on death row or something? You know, people commit these crimes because, number one, is problems with gun-free zones. And so criminals go to gun-free zones because they know there's nobody armed there. But there's also because we don't punish crime. And so the solution to ending crime is not more gun laws, more stuff that is only going to affect people who already buy guns legally anyway. The best way to defend or to stop crime is to promote and celebrate the lawful ownership of self-defense,
yeah,
and to bring swift and severe punishment to people who break those laws. Because until you do that, you know, like G.K. Chesterton said, if man will not live by the Ten Commandments, if man will not have the Ten, he must have the 10,000.
Wow. Wow. G.K. Chesterton always nails it, like within about one sentence. He would have been a Twitter master with, you know, so few words. He could have nailed it.
Elon would be the one person that would be Elon's number one follower would be G.K. But yeah, I just feel like 277, 408, 409, we need gun bills that are obvious and open celebrations of the Second Amendment so that people feel passionate and empowered to get behind this legislation and to get behind the concept of responsible, God-fearing, freedom-loving, patriotic-toting Second Amendment citizenship. Because let's just face it, we all know why, as the famous Japanese commander said, why they didn't invade America, because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. And the way that you stop the explosion of crime is not through a nanny state. It's not through those who are, as C.S. Lewis said, I'm not afraid of tyrants. I'd be more afraid of infinite busybodies who actually believe in the good cause of bringing salvation through legislation, right? What we need is the simple and plain enforcement of righteous justice and the celebration of what is good in the owning of the means and training of self-defense, and the problem goes away.
Man, I love having you on the show. I feel like about half a dozen times when you're talking, I think, I wish I'd said that. But I am now going to say no salvation through legislation on a regular basis, but I have to give you the credit for it.
That's right. Hey, that's all right. You know what? If you take it from one person, they say it's plagiarism. You take it from many, it's just research. I'm sure I didn't come up with that through reading. So you can just say after much research, you've come to the conclusion, and then just follow with the statement.
Fair enough. All right, man. Go fight the good cause. Enjoy your next few days off from the legislative wranglings, and then head down to the House floor and get some business done, buddy.
Yes, sir. You can count on it. Thank you, brother.
All right. See you, man. That's State Representative Ernie Yarbrough from District 7 up in northwest Alabama near the Shoals area. He just has a way with words. He has a great way with words. No salvation through legislation. That's brand new in my lexicon, just going to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll wrap up Home Fries right after this. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. Several text messages I'll get to momentarily, but let me just go ahead and jump back into some home fries. Cook me up some home fries, JP. Cook them up. Cook them up. Frying in the pan. Hey, by the way, home fries. This is special for JP. It was just noted in the last 45 to 50 minutes that Auburn basketball coach Bruce Pearl has been named as the SEC Coach of the Year. Thank you.
As he should have.
Can I have some applause? I'd like you to do the applause for us, JP. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. We got to bring in some church discipline sometime soon. The elder's going to have to meet and talk about you a little bit.
I'm sure he would have traded the Coach of the Year to win the last game, though. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Anyway, yep, congratulations, Coach Bruce Pearl, who I'm noticing that because it was Coach Tommy Tuberville that sent the congratulations on Twitter, so that's cool. There's that. And then I got a couple other things. By the way, I don't know what this means, like what the job would even really entail. You may remember Lindy Blanchard. She ran for governor of Alabama. She was the former Trump-appointed ambassador to Slovenia, which you look at and go, Slovenia, where is that? Well, that's actually where Melania Trump is from. So anyway, she was the former Trump ambassador to Slovenia. She just received an appointment by the Trump administration to be the new Food and Agricultural Organization representative to the United Nations. I don't know what that even does. It says it's an agency that fights, you know, worldwide hunger and operates offices in over 130 countries. So she's going to be the U.S. rep for that. And it just kind of feels like, well, we don't know what else to give her, so let's give her that. It just, I don't know. But she's thanking him for it, and Trump's celebrating her. So, yay, go get her done. Lindy Blanchard staying in the fray. And then a couple more, just so you know. And in fact, I may skip that one. But this one right here I got from Alabama Reflector. Remember them? Alabama Reflector. I'd forgotten about them, to be honest with you. But it's notoriously liberal. But hey, every once in a while they get a story, you know, blind squirrel with a nut. But the Alabama Reflector had a piece just a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned it a moment ago when Ernie Yarbrough was on the phone. He has another bill called House Bill 7. It's part of the illegal immigration package. He has been told it is a priority bill and it should be moving here pretty quick when they get back from the break. But House Bill 7 by Ernie Yarbrough, it would also give sheriff's deputies and police officers the authority to arrest and detain individuals not authorized to be in the U.S. In other words, illegal immigration is a federal crime. You can't usually arrest on that basis alone. There has to be some inchoate crime, something else that's wrapped in. Like maybe they violate a state law and then you find out they're here illegally. In this case, it would allow that to be the sole basis for detention by a state or local law enforcement officer if his bill passes. What it basically does is it gives them a chance to arrest somebody who maybe had something small like a traffic ticket, or you swept them up in the middle of something else, or they just happened to not have any ID and then you begin to realize they were illegal, and you can detain them, local law enforcement, and then immediately call ICE and let them get picked up. It just basically lets the locals have a say and a participation point that they don't have right now. I like that bill. I like that bill lots. All right, I got some text messages and all, and when we get back, we're going to jump into the next one. Will the Department of Education die? Will it? Long lingering death, maybe, but I think it's possible that it's going to at least wind down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.